Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We need the YouTube chat back. Text line down for the moment.
Text line down.
We need the YouTube chat. Come on back. Which, by the way, Jacob in the YouTube chat says, quote, "I really like Henry and would have cheered hard for him had he went to almost any other team, but not the Ravens. Never the Ravens."
Okay.
This from Jacob on YouTube.
Yeah, look, if that's how you feel, I'm fine with that. Really, I'm just arguing for the people who don't feel like that. I think the people who don't feel like that should not be shamed, but I respect it. Hey, if you hate an opposing helmet or jersey that much, and I mean the real one, not the stupid, you know, marketing gimmick ones, I get it. I do. I mean, Stilly's blowing me up here. McNair, he says McNair.
Welcome back from vacation, Stilly.
Yeah, welcome back. McNair was more loved. He won the MVP. Fans tend to like those players. I mean, and your response to that is?
Right.
I don't know that. I mean, it would depend on which year we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously they were together for a long time. I don't know in the totality of it that Steve McNair was the most popular player on his own team. Eddie George is pretty popular. So, I mean, it's close.
All I hear from people is how, in some of his time at least, like his teammates were often really mad at fans for the booing.
Yes. And especially early.
Like the displeasure.
Was, yeah. So, like I said, it's all close. Like, we've talked about this before with those three specifically, with Henry, McNair, and Eddie George. Like, it's close. And, yes, McNair won an MVP, and he was a quarterback, so it's different that way. But I think you can make the argument about Derrick Henry being the most popular Titan of all time. I think the argument is there.
Stilly says, compare the exits. Eddie George and Henry were understandable for fans. Fans went bleeping crazy over McNair. That's also, well, first of all, there are a lot of Titans fans very sad, at least. But, yeah, the time was certainly up for Eddie George, right? I mean, yep. McNair was still, I think McNair was still a more viable QB than Eddie George was a viable running back.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
So there's also that Stilly.
McNair also kind of got, like, locked out of the building, if memory
serves
me correctly.
Right, and all this stuff happened with Floyd. Yeah, right. It ended, yeah, kind of a rough ending.
Yeah, a little bit different. But, I think it's close. You know, yes, McNair won an MVP, and McNair was a quarterback. And McNair, I think, by the time the Super Bowl season came around, and certainly after that, like, part of his the love that Titans fans have for him, yes, he was a great player, but he was also like he was superhuman. Like he could play through some of that stuff, and that he really endeared himself to the fan base that way.
Yeah.
Look what this dude is playing through and look at what he's doing out there. Yeah.
Sure. Of course.
So it's just different.
Derrick Henry pretty tough too. He played a whole half of football on a broken bone. You know, Dan Pompey's story. Yeah, it was interesting, you know, kind of revisiting that. Good stuff on the YouTube chat real quick from Timothy Farristad. Watching McNair play for the Ravens while Scary Carey was the Titans QB was a dark time in my life that I'd rather forget. Thank you very much.
Hey, Carey, I looked, can sling that thing, man.
Yeah, he can. I look at Henry kind of like Ekholm. I was cheering for the Oilers once the Preds were out just so Ekholm could win the cup. If the Titans are out, I'm hoping Henry wins it all, but I hope Suter never wins. I think that's a great thing, right? Like there's some people that you, of course. Now, I mean, as far as I know, Ryan Suter just walking down Broadway in like 2047 with his grandkids, he'll get booed, okay? So there's that too. But I think that's a great comparison, and I think that's true. I mean, the Oilers are in the Preds conference.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, especially if you took Corey Perry off the team, it would have been like 95% Preds fans rooting for the Oilers to win it all, right?
I do think like the Ravens part of it is a complicating factor. Like if he had gone to – even if it was an AFC team, but it was like, you know, the Broncos or something. Like, it's okay, whatever. Like, who cares if the Broncos are good? Like, if you're the Titans, you don't have a big problem with the Broncos. But, I like, the Ravens, I think, adds I mean, we heard from some people, and now this is a very small minority, and I thought it was stupid. Everybody, I think most people think it's stupid at the time, but it was like, Derrick Henry, how could you be a Titans legend and then just actively choose to go to the Ravens?
Yeah, that's
does
insane.
He not understand that the history between the Titans and the Ravens?
That's utterly insane.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry has to worry about Derrick Henry at that point and going to win and the contract and all that stuff. So all that stuff's done. But I do think, like, if you're – I have no doubt that when week one rolls around and you finally see him out there in a real-life game setting playing for the Baltimore Ravens, that will probably be a not fun sight for a lot of Titans fans. Like, I totally understand that.
Yeah, it'd be conflicting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, right? The helmet is just – it's poison, but you love the guy, so – It's a very interesting conflict.
It is a very interesting conflict. And, I mean, added to the intrigue of it all is I'm really interested to see how that works with him and Lamar and that offense and how good they're going to be. And what does he have left in the tank? Like, I'm really interested to see.
He's guessing
on the other side of 30 now. So.
Yep. I think he's probably in pretty decent shape. So.
Probably so.
No, I think it's one of the most interesting –
how are they going to use it?
Even if, apart from Nashville, just in general, the NFL, like one of the most interesting individual storylines of the year is, how he works in that offense and how much he has left.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback that's won two MVPs. So are they going to turn around and hand the rock to Derrick Henry 20, 25 times a game? I have my doubts that that's going to happen.
No, I don't think it'll be that much. I just think he'll be – I think that what it should be is that those two – put defenses in conflict a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe you can take a little bit off Lamar's plate as a runner in this way too. So
he's lost some weight.
I saw that.
That'd be fast as lightning out there.
Yeah, but also the whole point of gaining the weight was to not be able to take the hit. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there.
Lamar, watch out. Make sure you don't take a big hit.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe you know, he's resolved to not take those hits, and Derrick Henry should help with that. He'll take hits.
He will. David on YouTube says, I have Derrick Henry in my keeper league, so it'll make it a little easier to cheer for him, but it's painful to see the Raven on him. Maybe that's what you do if you're conflicted. You just take him in your fantasy football league. It's like, well, now I have to root for him.
Exactly. Yeah, now I've got to. Mark Tilden, I hope Henry runs for 1,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, and the Ravens lose every game. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I mean, it would be – he could have if he has that kind of year,
they're probably going to
and they lost every game. Man, I need to see how that works out. You know,
John Harbaugh might get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how bad did their defense just completely fall off the map? But last year, going into the season, I didn't think their defense was going to be that good, and they were great. So, yeah, I think you're going to, like, they're going to be good. So that's something you just have to be able to come to terms with.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the quarterback conversation. Who are the most overrated quarterbacks in the league heading into this season? Who are the most underrated? And where does Will Levis kind of fall into all that discussion? We'll get into all that. Take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our YouTube chat is flowing as well in the 7 o'clock hour. More on that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. The Game Summer Ticket Tour presented by Green River Whiskey is back. Join our own Joe Dubin at MJ Sports Bar and Grill at 1253 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro this Thursday from 4 to 6. He gives away tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and a whole lot more. Also get signed up for the grand prize tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our YouTube chat and on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text line back under repair.
That darn text line, I tell you what. Speaking of, words. Let me see if I can find a word. Speaking of technical difficulties, you know, our parking spots here,
Yeah,
are all locked up. So we got Woody and Jim right here. Yeah. Looking in, taunting, you know, banging on the window and stuff like that. This is gonna be life now, huh?
Taking your parking spot.
Yeah, taking my parking spot. You know what? Putting his tongue on the window. What do you do? What do you do over here?
Like blowing your kisses through the window. You didn't see it.
It's gonna be just another, you know, another
it's difficulty. Chaos in here.
It is. It's like an obstacle in the job, but it's cool. Cool to have those guys in the building.
It is very cool.
Congrats to them. Don't take my parking spot.
Yeah, watch where you park, man. Watch where you park. The most overrated quarterbacks heading into this year. I think there's a lot of different ways you could go with this, but as you look around the league, who are if you had to name a couple quarterbacks that you think maybe getting a little bit too much love heading into this year, who would those quarterbacks be? Who are some of the names that come to mind when you think about most overrated quarterbacks heading into this season?
Well, this isn't the definitive list, but earlier when we were going through Will Levis possibly being top 15, I did do PFF. I think maybe this is me extending the olive branch of PFF. PFF, I love you guys now. But I will go with theirs. I think their rankings are generally about the same as most people. I mean, they base it on their goofy little stats, but big-time throw rate, things like that. But, you know, it's like they're basically the same ratings as a lot of people. And the obvious names that come to mind would be Dak Prescott. I think Justin Herbert is – I would not put him there, okay? But I think that he's going to be a popular pick in this category because of the lack of success. I don't think he deserves to be in there. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, they have him number 8. Is that overrated? I would argue that might be a little bit at this point. And another guy who, of course, comes to mind is Brock Purdy, who I think is very good and also I think it is elevated by his team. So if he was in a different situation, I think Brock Purdy – again, it's like the Tom Brady thing, and I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, okay? But it's the same kind of situation where if he didn't, as this very low pick who, by the measurables and everything, really was not a top prospect, was not a high prospect, if he didn't go where he went, he might have just been buried on a bench somewhere and buried on a practice squad somewhere. So is Brock Purdy, you know, top 10 QB in this league or right around there? I don't think he is, so I would have to put him on my list.
I think what you're going to see as some of these quarterback discussions start to come out, and overrated to me doesn't necessarily have to mean you think that they're bad, but I think you're going to see some wild stuff about C.J. Stroud. I think you're going to see – I'm reading an ESPN.com NFL insider story that came out, I think, last week that was, you know, executives ranking the quarterbacks. So, I mean, look, Mahomes is one. I don't think anybody would argue that. They've got Burrow at 2, Allen at 3, Lamar at 4. They've got Stroud at 7, and it lists off, like, where the highest ranking on the list was for him, and it was 2. Somebody had him as the second best quarterback in the league, looking ahead.
Yeah, that's a little much. Yeah. That's a little bit much.
The lowest ranking had him out of the top 10 somewhere. But, like, somebody who is an NFL guy had him at number 2 behind Patrick Mahomes on the list. I would assume everybody had Mahomes at 1. That would be my guess.
Is it the Texans GM?
I don't know. But, like, it just – I like C.J. Stroud. I think C.J. Stroud's really good. He had a great year. But, like, are we already anointing him a top 5 quarterback in the league at this point?
I certainly wouldn't, yeah. And I think it's – well, I think it's possible that he has a quote-unquote sophomore slump, but if he does, that's a big-time slump because they have really done a lot around him.
They have.
And
I think he's going to play well this year.
No, I do too. He's good. There's no doubt. He look, when it comes down to it, I think that his biggest strength is the biggest question mark of the quarterback in this town. The biggest thing, and this went back to Ohio State, and this, I was like a lot of people, like, man, got like their fifth receiver is a first round pick. I mean, it's they're so much more, ridiculously more talented than just about everybody else they play. How do you evaluate a quarterback in that situation? But accuracy. Yep. Just consistently putting the ball on the mark over and over again. That was there in college. Yes, he would have all day to throw, and yes, the receiver he threw to was 10 yards open, but still, the ball was on the numbers. And that's where that if you have that, again, it's like Cousins. Because for all that Cousins doesn't have, Cousins has that. That's right at the top. Get the ball out, get it where it's supposed to be. So I just can't imagine him falling off. But two in the league, I think there's – you're breaking into – it is Mahomes, and I do think that you could make a lot of different arguments for two. Some people would put Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Some people would put Burrow. Some people still would put like a Josh Allen in there. I just think it's a little early to put Stroud up there right now.
I think so too. And look, you know, Burrow, it's a big year for him. Like, we all know that when Burrow is healthy, he's a great player. And when you talk about Mahomes, there are two guys that have beaten Mahomes in the playoffs. Tom Brady's done it twice. Burrow's done it once. So those are your two guys right there. So we all know that Burrow is a great player when he's healthy. But, like, this is a pretty important year for him to stay healthy. Like, he's had some injury problems. And it's a big year for him to – like, if you're going to continue to view him as that level of quarterback, like, part of playing quarterback is staying healthy and being available.
No question.
It's a big year for him.
Right. Like, you mentioned earlier the QBs who started great. I was trying to think of other examples. But RG3 is the example of – and who knows? I mean, maybe they had some things his rookie year that people weren't ready for, and they caught up. But I mean, largely, it was that knee.
Yeah.
And then he just Cousins was there, and Cousins was better. And
I mean, Marcus, his second year, played really good football.
Was very good.
And then
he
wasn't after that.
Yeah. I still don't know like what the ceiling would have been if that never happened. I don't think it's nearly as high as some people would hope it would have been. But yeah. He would probably qualify for that. If Burrow gets hurt again this year, then, yeah, you do start to look at his career differently. Like, man, how promising was it? No question about the ability, but once it gets to a certain point and you can't stay healthy, then that's kind of what you are.
Are you good with Jared Goff being in the top 10?
No, he's not a top 10 quarterback.
He's number 9 on this list of the executives.
Look, Goff has done a lot to reclaim his – I mean, when he got just, tossed aside by McVay.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot to resuscitate that. He also has fantastic surroundings. He has what some people – I think a lot of people would say is the number one offensive line in the NFL. Two fantastic backs. The best slot receiver in the NFL for sure, and a top – what? 5-6 receiver overall in St. Brown.
He's pretty good.
And fantastic tight end play. I mean, all of that is to say, though, no, he's good. He's very good. He's top 15 for sure. I think top 10's a little bit weighty for him.
I am looking at this list that ESPN put out there. Mahomes was not unanimous number one. Somebody had him at 2. I would love to know who that is.
Well, yeah, who was the one? Who got the one?
It doesn't list it out that way.
They don't
way.
Say who the other first.
Let's see.
First,
the highest ranking. Somebody put Josh Allen at 1. So I guess okay. Josh Allen was the other.
And he's such an interesting. I would definitely not do that. I like him a lot. Some people are like, well, watch out below without Diggs. We're going to find out, man.
I think Josh Allen is a great player. I'd have a lot of questions about them heading in this year. I do. You know, I would not put him in the – I don't think he's overrated. Like, I think Josh Allen is really good. I mean, we've talked about that game in the divisional round against the Chiefs. And he did everything you could possibly do to win that game.
Absolutely.
He played well last playoff game against the Chiefs. It just – sometimes you run into that other guy, and it's hard to overcome.
Yeah, it's just hard to imagine being an executive in this league and watching everything you've watched and say, yeah, I think Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I don't understand that.
But there's dumb executives in the NFL.
There's no doubt. 615-737-1025, your most overrated quarterbacks get to the most underrated, and where Will Levis could fit into this discussion coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock.
Look behind you real fast.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, that's in Williamston, Michigan, which I have two buddies who live there. I text them, like, which one of you did this, man? Look at that thing.
Campbell. I guess that's a cornfield.
It's a cornfield in Williamston, Michigan, and they have the lion mane built around Dan Campbell's face. These people are I'm so sorry for all you folks. It's going to be such
gearing
a brutal
up, baby.
Fall.
Super Bowl run. You going to be back in? If they make it to the Super Bowl, are you back in?
If the Lions win the Super Bowl.
Not if they win. If they get there, are you back in?
No, if they win the Super Bowl, I'll become a Lions fan again.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, if they make
the bar's been set.
If they make the Super Bowl, I'll probably show up.
A mighty team that will not yield.
Act like an idiot.
He's back, baby.
Yeah. No, they're gonna go like 10-7 this year, which is still good, but they're gonna be a big disappointment.
I look forward to the Packers winning the NFC North.
And that's probably what's
gonna
happen.
Should be good. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena this Saturday. Be caller 3-615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Hootie and the Blowfish at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday. Our text line, still for the moment, down. Hit up our YouTube chat. YouTube chat going very strong today. We appreciate it.
The text line, by the way, officially says, quote, some error occurred.
Yeah. Very specific.
Period. Yes. Some error.
Has taken
whatever.
Place. We don't know exactly what error it is, but some Rocks error has taken place.
Something or other.
Thank you.
Thanks. Occurred.
Underrated quarterbacks. We just went through a list of overrated quarterbacks. Who do you think maybe is a little under the radar heading into this year? And does Will Levis appear on this list for you?
Yeah, I would count Will Levis. But, yeah, I think Will Levis is absolutely an underrated quarterback because he's rated incredibly low.
Exactly.
I mean, he's rated incredibly low. And I just, again, don't think people understand or care to look into how bad he had it around him on this offense last year and how bad it's been for quarterbacks the last 2 years or much of the last two seasons. So, yeah, I would – put him in that category. I'll tell you another guy going into his second year who I would say is underrated because it was a complete bleep show is Bryce Young. Bryce Young, I'm not giving up on him. He's small, and he had his issues. He way outplayed C.J. Stroud and went over C.J. Stroud last year, by the way.
He did.
Think about the Texans season. They freaking lost to the Panthers.
Yeah.
My goodness. And Stroud, and Young was the better quarterback that day. Again, that's one game, but I'm just saying I would not dismiss him, and I think it happens so quickly in this league that quarterbacks get dismissed. So those two guys come to mind. But a guy that I absolutely –
they got my favorite guy in the league now, by the way, too.
What's that?
You've seen Xavier Leggett's press conferences in Carolina? They're unbelievable.
So. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go check them out.
Okay.
Xavier Leggett.
Better than Keon Coleman because Keon Coleman's bringing it.
They're
okay,
better.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Yeah,
Kirk Cousins is definitely like so. Jared Goff, you're okay, and your list there. You had Jared Goff, what top 10, 10, 9?
On the ESPN. He's 9.
And where's Cousins?
Cousins is outside of the top 10. He is honorable mention, whatever that means.
So they only do 10.
Yeah, they only do 10.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins is as good as Jared Goff. Okay, and probably a little better. It's just. Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff is on a loaded team, and good for him, and he's taking advantage of it. Kirk Cousins is, I think, certainly a top 15 quarterback. I think you can make a case for him to be top 12 and maybe even pushing. I mean, if you're going 10, if you're in the range of Hurts, Love, Trevor Lawrence, I think Kirk Cousins is right there with those guys. Very different types of players, everybody I just named, but he's right around a top 10 QB in the league, and I think most people don't have him there. So now, coming off the Achilles at his age, maybe we start to see some regression, but he's been really good. Some of these dumb, the time of day that you play, good God, and the playoff success. Go I mean, there's been one playoff game that he's lost in which his team was favored.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry he couldn't beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers when he had, like, Will Compton as their starting linebacker with Washington 10 years ago, you know? They were not supposed to win that game, and they got smoked. He goes into New Orleans and leads a game-winning drive and throws a touchdown on the last play to beat Drew Brees in a game they never should have won. We're not supposed to be in, and no one remembers it.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
We know you love you some Kirk.
Yeah, Cubs. I mean, there's some bias there, but
he's a good player.
He's good.
I'll tell you another one that I think is underrated heading into this year, just based on where he's at on some of these lists that we're talking about. And I understand why, because of his age and because of everything that surrounds him and him, his Achilles injury and all that. Like Rodgers, the sample size that we have of him playing football, and we'll see what it looks like at age 40 coming off the Achilles. But the latest sample size we have of him playing football is very good. Very, very good. Like top five quarterback good. So
he could be on either list.
He could be either way. I mean, if there's no reason for me to believe, based on the way that he throws the football, that if he is healthy, he won't be very, very good. Like I know he's 40, but I mean the guy can sling it. So I mean, there's a lot that goes on around Aaron Rodgers. I get it, but I think if he's healthy, then he's going to play well. I think we've seen that enough from him. Like if he's healthy, he is going to play good football. I think we know that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, he's super interesting. Because to me, people who still think he's that guy, I can't get there. And so then I'm like, yeah, it's a little overrated. But some people maybe go a little too far in that thinking and think like he's just diminished and he's just going to be toast. And until we see him not look like
that's the thing.
A really good QB, you kind of have to see it first, right?
That's the thing. Like, my guess is, had he stayed healthy last year, he probably would have played pretty darn well. Like, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
So, until I see him not play well, until I see the age catch up to him, I think I have to include him in this.
Yeah. I mean, Rodgers and Cousins both coming off Achilles tears. That is a serious injury. Now, yeah. Neither of them are certainly Cousins. Is not a running, has never been. Rodgers has. I mean, his feet have served him well in his career, so maybe, you know, that changes a little bit. And I mean, that is a big-time injury, so you have to – I think that's part of it. I think another thing with Rodgers is just the circus of that place. He's got this thing
The circus of him and the circus of that place combined. Like, it's just –
Right. Yeah, and then they're smashing circuses. Right. And elephants and bearded ladies, you know, trampling each other.
Yes.
I mean, it's something to behold. I think that's part of it too. It's like it's hard to imagine them not being dysfunctional, but maybe he'll just be so good. Yeah, if they win and he's good, then a lot of that stuff just kind of goes away.
What about Stafford? You know, Stafford's had some problems staying healthy. This ESPN.com executive thing I'm looking at, it's got him at 5. And 5 is, I'm talking about top 5 quarterback in the league. Stafford, I think he's 36.
That's overrated.
Yeah, like he's – I think – You look at him, if he could stay healthy, can he still be that guy? But I think he's too high on some of these people's list heading into the show.
Top five, I mean, come on. Let me look at where he is on the PFF, the hallowed PFF list. So they've got him 7, which is – so here's what they wrote about Rodgers. His 83.8 passing grade, again, that's their grade, right? Like they grade on a scale to 100. Ranked 7th in the league, 32 big-time throws were 5th most, 2.1% turnover-worthy play rate was 2nd behind only Dak Prescott, who was 1st, which is interesting.
That is interesting.
Arm talent, it's been elite his whole career. Arm talent, Matthew Stafford, like, absurd. I would say Stafford and Rodgers, two of the most talented arms ever to play the game, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, easy. Make throws that just
– Yeah.
don't make sense, and he's got the different arm slots and all that stuff. But, yeah, that's a little high, right?
At this point, I think so.
They're going to be interesting. They were supposed to be crap last year. All of a sudden, it's amazing that they can go out there and just, you know, they get a receiver and a running back nobody wanted, and they're both freaking good.
Unbelievable. Puka Nacua going to catch about 175 passes this year.
Yeah. I mean, if Cooper Kupp actually comes back this year – Nah, they're fun.
I think they could be a sleeper team.
Yeah.
I think they could. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, you think about what that team has had to overcome to qualify for the Olympics. The violence, the strife in their country, all the obstacles. It's amazing what Luol and their federation have done to put this team together.
You better not have another biscuit!
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. A lot of biscuit talk on this program.
Yeah, I don't remember all this biscuit talk. It's like I've blacked it out somehow. Real quick on the YouTube chat. First of all, Chris asked if Stafford was still at Detroit, would they have taken the Super Bowl? Yes, Matthew Stafford could take this.
Oh, yeah.
He looks at the Lions like, oh, wow, must be nice. And Brent says with the Cousins, you do realize one of the reasons they weren't favored in those games is the QB. Okay. Again, I'm not saying Cousins is an all-time great or anything like that, but I'm just saying the playoff success, he has not had a great team.
No.
The Vikings had better teams. They had like one of the league's best teams when they had that ridiculous Hail Mary to beat the Saints. Like that team, those teams defensively were much better than they've gotten in the last few years. Now he did have Justin Jefferson. But I'm going to transition to Olympic basketball. And Team USA had this, they were getting smoked by South Sudan, which, by the way, I'll raise my hand and admit, I did not know South Sudan existed. That's apparently been 12, 13 years, so I need to brush up on my geography and history. But South Sudan gave it a great run the other day. It's a primer. It's, you know, obviously the Olympics haven't started yet. U.S. LeBron comes through, wins it, you know, and then at the end, that was, you might be able to call a foul inside on the U.S. Didn't call it. I don't know. It was close. And so they survived. So everybody freaked out. So this is what I saw. All over the place. You know, people, you know, everything has to come back to the Dream Team in 1992, right? So all over the place I saw this. No, this is not the Dream Team. No, this is not as good as the Dream Team. There will never be another Dream Team, et cetera, et cetera. First of all, you're right. Absolutely, I agree. There will never be another Dream Team. Also, the story here, folks, is that there's actually good basketball internationally, and that the Dream Team, while great and an incredible collection of players, had no competition. That's what's changed. There was no competition in 1992. Charles Barkley could go out in Barcelona and like order dinner at 6 a.m. after being at the club all night and then show up the next day and go for 20 and 10. It was not a problem. There was no competition. Let's go back to 1992. The silver medalist that year was Croatia. They did have two NBA players. They had Toni Kukoc and Drazen Petrovic. That was the one team that, and I mean, what was the final score? I mean, the U.S. could name its score, yeah, right? Let's see, what was the final score? Yeah, they beat them 117-85, okay? So, like, but that was, they had a couple NBA players. The bronze, Lithuania, had, did they have? They had an old Arvydas Sabonis. Okay, let's go to this year. Let's look at the rosters this year. So basically, there were no NBA players on other than on, Team USA. This year, Canada, RJ Barrett, Dort, Dylan Brooks, SGA, Trey Lyles, Jamal Murray, Andrew Nembhard, Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell. France, Nicholas Batum. Evan Fournier, Rudy Gobert, Victor Wembanyama. Wembanyama's up here throwing lobs at Gobert. Okay. Australia, Josh Giddey, Josh Green, Joe Ingles, Duoprith, Dante Exum, Dyson Daniels. Also, you have two former guys, Matthew Dellavedova, Patty Mills. That's not bad. That's pretty good. Serbia. How about Jokic on Serbia? That seems like a pretty good guy. Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Hawks. Okay, not bad. How about Germany? Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, Daniel Theis, Dennis Schroeder, Isaac Bunk. I mean, that's not bad. South Sudan has Bol Bol, has Wenyen Gabriel, has Don Maker. Right. I mean, dang Adele. I mean, like, Spain has Rudy Fernandez. They got some former guys. They got Santi Aldama, who's with the Grizzlies. Greece, I don't know, Giannis, he's okay. That's not bad, right? I just keep going. I mean, I can keep going. Japan has Rui Hachimura. You know, I mean, Brazil has Santos from the Warriors and a bunch of and there's a bunch of former NBA players too on a lot of these teams, like Nick Kalathis on Greece, for example. It's completely – that's what's changed, okay? The Dream Team was incredible, and it was so much fun. It was the first year of the NBA. The Dream Team had Magic Johnson. He had found out months earlier that he was HIV positive. He did not play that year in the NBA. He came back for the All-Star game. He eventually came back. He was way past, you know, he was past his prime. He was not in the best shape. He was past his prime. He was still Magic and still an incredible pass, all that stuff, but he was not peak Magic. Larry Bird's back at that point was completely shot. He was a shell of himself. His career, you know, really, I mean, he was great for about 7-8 years in the NBA. He was not peak Larry Bird. Jordan was peak. Barkley was peak. Ewing was still very good. Like, they were loaded, but we act like this was like this insane, like unbeatable basketball team. Take that team, and this is also what I always argue with the NBA, but take that team, put them in this tournament. That team as it existed, put them in this tournament. I promise you they are in basketball games, folks. They are in competitive basketball games. Put them against this Team USA. I'd like to watch it. Yep. I'll watch it. I think this team might have something for them.
Yeah.
So that the story is what has happened worldwide with basketball, which is an amazing story, and it's awesome, and it's why going through these teams, I can't wait for this tournament. I'm actually going to be excited to watch these games. U.S. Canada, U.S. France, U.S. Australia, those are games. This is good. And it's not – the story is not, oh, these guys can't hold a candle 92. 92 had nothing to do but go out and hang out in Barcelona and then mess around a little bit and beat anybody by 30.
You know, this conversation is going to come back to from some people of just how much you hate Michael Jordan. That's what it's going to come back
to. I said he was Pete Jordan. I said he's Pete Jordan, man. I mean, that team was dumb because they didn't have Isaiah, which is a complete crock and a travesty and ridiculous. But – you know, that's I didn't even get into that until you just.
I'm just saying.
Brought me there. I'm not ripping Jordan. I mean, Jordan was great at that time. Jordan was peak Jordan. He was winning titles. He was what was he? 8-9 years in the league. You know, yeah, he was great. Barkley was great. Those yeah. I mean, Barkley I think was MVP. I think the next year.
Yes.
And should have beat Jordan in the finals, but they blew it. So, but again, like two of the biggest four stars on that team were way past their best.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and look, we had this conversation, too, about, you know, the argument always comes up, would you take the Dream Team or the Redeem Team? And I mean, you talk about a game I'd love to watch. That would be near the top of the list. Of
yeah.
Dream Team, Redeem Team, it would be awesome.
It'd be good.
It'd be
LeBron,
really
good. LeBron in his prime, Kobe.
I think if you dismiss out of hand that – like, if you just think that nobody can ever hold a candle to the Dream Team again and that they would just beat every U.S. team by, like, 20 points, I think you're crazy. Now, they may be the best one ever.
Yeah, they blew out their crappy teams they played.
Like, they might still – like, if you lined them up player for player, they might still be the best team ever. But I think it's closer than a lot of people would want to admit.
Like I said, those two guys – I mean, they had a lot of great players. Clyde Drexler was great at that point. Stockton Malone were great at that point. Pippen – is to me an underrated player in NBA history. You know, they're it's a loaded team. I mean, you didn't have to have Chris Mullin. That should have been Isaiah. But whatever, that's fine.
Leitner.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. God. You have to just make sure that the team's somewhat hateable and put Christian Leitner on it. Like, everyone, you know, Leitner, ugh. No, it's – and by the way, I may as well throw another hoops take on this. You know, I'm watching LeBron the other day. He's going to – carry the flag for the U.S. for the men's team. LeBron is the best basketball player of all time. I mean, it's there is no question. LeBron is the best basketball player. What he's doing at this age is truly
incredible. Pretty ridiculous. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. My favorite argument that I hear from him sometimes. And look, if you think he's the best, that's fine. If you think George's the best, that's fine.
No, it's not.
But the argument of, well, LeBron couldn't have played in the 90s. It's too physical.
Good God.
It's like, yeah, I'm sure it's too physical for the 6'8",
270-pound guy coming downhill. No, he couldn't have dealt with it.
Yeah.
What?
I love that argument. It's too physical. It's like, okay. You see this guy?
I mean, it's just like, it's incredible. How could anyone ever think that? David James is nodding in approval. He agrees. He's a hoops guy.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they are set to open up training camp this week. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.